This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to Breaking Bread, the show where we explore food through culture, conversations, and a whole lot of curiosity. I'm your host, Lo Yijun, a food writer and recipe developer from the Gin and Tonic blog. And every week on this show, we explore a particular dish, ingredients, or culinary story, and I bring in some food friends and experts to feed our bellies and minds. Today's episode is all about the world's favorite breakfast bread, peanut butter. Whether it's Jif or Skippy, smooth or chunky, on toast or straight from the jar, there are a multitude of ways to love peanut butter. Well, except if you have a nut allergy, in which case, I am so sorry, but this episode probably won't be the most appetizing one to listen to. But since peanut butter's invention in the late 19th century, it has spread all over the world, becoming the commonest condiment on breakfast tables everywhere. While in Malaysia, peanut butter might still have kaya to contend with, there's no doubt that it's still a very popular condiment out there, with studies showing that the average Malaysian household will consume close to 2 jars of peanut butter each year. So while most of us might only have had imported peanut butter, there's a brand of homegrown Malaysian peanut butter that has been churning out quality PB over the last few years. So today we have the co-founders and CEO of said peanut butter maker in the studios with us. It's Joseph Goh, Debbie Cheng, and Victor Chin from Jobby Nut Butter. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Jun. Thank you so much for having us here.
Hey, thanks for coming. So, tell me about Jobby Nut Butter and how you guys started.
We actually started at 2014, Christmas Eve, very romantic date. So we started then. At first, it was not called Jobby, actually. It's called
Walawe.
Yeah, very, very typical, like, Malaysian name kind of things. So we started from there. Firstly, we have no culinary skills at all. So it was very hard. We have to learn from like YouTube, Google, auntie, uncles, from the neighborhood and all. So it was very challenging. Okay, so basically we have to make a recipe, start selling, start getting feedbacks, samples, and then once we have a recipe, then we'll go full forth like a very official brand name lah. So it's called Jobby right now.
So the name Jobby comes from both of your names, right?
Yes, Joseph and Debbie. And Debbie.
And I heard there's also, like, recently you guys made the news in Ireland or Scotland or something, because Jobby means...
Yeah, because in like UK, there's an urban language. Jobby is actually called shit. And I don't even mind telling that, because we always joke with them. Like, you know, midnight, they always come and troll us, you know. Hey, do you know what Jobby is? I say,
What, they'll like text you or message you online?
Yeah, they message us.
Right. Social media.
Yeah. So they say, hey, do you know what Jobby is? Then I say, yes, shit in UK, but we don't care because it's Malaysia.
Okay, it's Malaysian.
And we told them in Malaysia, it means Joseph and Debbie, a young couple who fight for their dream.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
but some of them also like very supportive. They keep asking us like, hey, can you ship it there or not? Then say, yeah, in the future, of course we can. A lot of people also want to try it. So we are there like full force, you know. There are many news, even Twitter are all flooded from UK.
I guess it's a good publicity for you guys as well, no?
Yeah. In a way, yes.
And you guys started the brand in 2014, 2015?
Yes.
I'm sure you guys faced a lot of challenges in the beginning, especially since, as you said, you don't have like a culinary background, right?
Yeah.
So how did your initial recipes look like? What troubles do you have with it?
Trouble. So basically, how to make a peanut butter is actually going to Google and say, how do I make peanut butter?
And that is one of it. When we just started, I was just 18 years old and Joseph was just 20 years old. And usually in this age, we were supposed to go to school, I mean like college or university. So one of the biggest challenge we have is also the
rejection of family, disapproval. They say like, why aren't you like in school? What are you doing? Like, because we move out from our house, go and work part time, save money, and then like move to a very, very in a way like secluded place, because the rent was very cheap there. So they said like, what are you doing there? Like, are you selling drugs maybe? So it started from there. A lot of very weird eyes, right, Debbie?
Yeah, and we don't have culinary skill like Joseph mentioned. So he just went to Google and YouTube and search how to make peanut butter. Then we get a simple food blender processor to make our first batch of peanut butter, and it tastes like
a Joby.
Wait, but tell me a bit about the rejection or the social pressure that you must have faced when you first started. How did you guys deal with that, especially when you were 18, 20 years old? Must have been very, very tough, no?
There's actually one very particular story that I remember. Actually, me and Debbie are married, if no one else knows it. So we're actually married, but when we were married, we didn't have any money. We didn't have any wedding ceremony. So my dad and her family, like, gathering a while, have a dinner, get to know each other. So my dad sat, I remember, right on my left. So he told everyone, "Hey, Joseph, you're going to regret this, you know, you're not going to study. I'm going to tell you, I told you so one day." So it was very sad. And Debbie was on my right hand side, I really remember this. She like grabbed my leg. I felt like she said, "Hey, don't flip the table." I'm very hungry, I know, just joking. But yeah, you see that it's not easy, but I take that as a motivation. So as Debbie. It's okay they don't believe us. We know what we are doing, and we are very grateful now. Even Debbie's mom, we are starting to take care of her, pay some bills and all this. So that to me is a very big accomplishment. Even though it might be small in other size, yeah.
And over the years, you guys seem to have a lot of support from your community around you as well. You were telling me before, like, initially, a lot of aunties came to you and spurred you on and tell you how you could improve with your recipes. And then, I guess recently, Victor came along as well, helped you with more like the marketing side.
Business, data, funding. A lot of things he has helped us. We wouldn't be here without him and all of aunties.
So, Victor, how and when did you come on?
So actually the funny thing was when I knew them, as I was telling you, I was trying to sell them digital marketing software. They're doing some really weird ads online. It was Christmas time. I'm not sure if you've seen the ads, but it features his leg being shaved with the peanut butter on. So that really caught my attention. And so when we were trying to basically sell the software, and then I said, okay, let's meet up and discuss more. And I was quite surprised knowing their age. Then I said, huh, you guys are selling peanut butter and you're doing it online? So I thought that was interesting. And I mean, I've been in business myself since very, very young, about 21. So I saw that kind of reflection within these two very young couples. And I think it's very hard nowadays to actually do business, you know, even though the opportunities are more, but competition's higher as well. And then when I looked at them, I said, okay, these kids are really determined to do something. And at that point, I actually wanted to invest my own money into the business. Unfortunately, they rejected me. But I still wanted to help them. And then I said, look, anytime if you need any advice, just come to me, reach out to me. My door is always open. And if you do want to consider my offer in the future, let me know. So we kept in touch. And then I also had my own connections in the marketing space. There was one time where we had a marketing opportunity, a sort of advertising opportunity, and I just thought about them. I said, hey, you know, I've got this opportunity to feature your product online in a very high-profile influencer page, right, on Facebook. And I said, do you want to take this up, right, because you'll be I'm pretty sure you'll be flooded with orders. And they took up the challenge. And from there, with the constant advice that I give them every week, and these kids are really good because these young chaps are really good because they took the advice and they actually implement. Some people, they just listen and they don't do anything about it. So I was quite impressed by that. And every time they report back, there's growth in terms of sales, in terms of, like you say, support from the community. And that's where I thought I should be more involved. Yeah. And it got up to a point where they just said, you know, can you be part of the team? And then I said, yeah, why not?
So Joseph and Demi, what was the turning point there that convinced you to get Victor on? Because initially you guys rejected him, right?
Okay, I be very frank, since Victor is here. Because the first time he actually invited us, we were still like very home-based, you know. We didn't have like a proper facility. We were like two people in a small flat, small condo. Like, are you this like very high-profile people? How to invite him to come to the house?
Not the right time.
Yeah, not the right time. And we feel very, like, we are not worth it for him. And we are very young, and he's quite established. So he got a name in the industry himself. So we rejected him, and he was like more determined than us, you know. So it's like, oh, that's something I like also. So I learned a lot from him. And one day, we were at a point of mental breakdown. I was very stressed. We couldn't sleep. There was so much work to do. And then, so I texted him.
I think it was like 2 or 3.
Yeah, 2 or 3, 3 o'clock. So I say, tabli tahana. Can we meet up? So we meet up. Then he gave us some advice. And he didn't even say like, hey, he didn't even like take opportunity. Hey, you guys like this. Why not? You let me join in like that. Like take advantage of the situation. He didn't. He was like very on, very insightful advice, very like, I want to help you guys, but I won't take anything. It's all right. So we were very touched. So I go back and talk to Debbie. So because if you don't discuss with the wife, then you like, she get mad. So happy wife, happy life, right? So we discuss and we say, hey, why not we let Victor join us? I can assure that our future is in better hand with good guidance with Victor. So we are still young. If we fail in 5-10 years, we'll still be like, what, 30 anyway. So why not just go all in, just try it out, and have no regrets.
And since the beginning, I mean, talking numbers for a bit, you guys were like a 28K a year business, yes. But right now you've grown to more than 10 times that, right? Mm. How did that happen in the span of 4-5 years?
Yeah. Our first year is 28,000. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
And this year we're actually aiming for,
I think we're on track to make $1 million in annual revenues. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't expect this just from a peanut butter brand, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did that happen for you guys? Was there like a turning point where your growth just like skyrocketed?
Actually, when we just started, what we think is just selling at a shopping mall in a weekend flea market.
Mm.
So on the first day, we can't even sell 10 jars of peanut butter. Yeah, and then from there, we meet some people and they teach us about business. We have to have a thick face to ask them. So after that, I think about 6 months, we turned into wholesale business. We started distributing peanut butter to cafes, restaurants. We drive to all the cafes and we walk in to ask them, can we put our peanut butter here? We won't even take your money. After you sell, only we get the money.
Like
that is
consignment.
Consignment. And we did that for about
1-2 years.
Yeah, 1-2 years. Mm. And then one day, Joseph went into an accident. Yeah.
So, okay, storytelling time again. So, yeah, we do our own deliveries. We send to cafes, like Debbie said, on a consignment basis. So there was one time I didn't sleep for more than a day. We were cranking up orders, sending out. So I was very, very tired. And we have to get like photography props. So we went to a mall, shopping mall, to get our photography props. And I was very, very tired. Okay. So I drive a very, very old Waja. Very old. Like the windows are not functioning. So I have to open doors and stuff if I want to like use the windows. So I was trying to put the ticket in the ticket machine. Okay. Very, very tired. I didn't even put my gear to neutral or P. It was on drive mode. So open the door, okay, I put in the cart, and when I came in, that means one leg outside, right? So one leg outside, when I came back in, my leg stepped on the acceleration. My body was halfway out, flown straight to the wall. It was like Fast and Furious, and out the wall, almost, okay, the wall will crack and I will fly down three stories down.
Oh my god.
So very lucky, doctor say few more inches it will hit my tendon behind and I won't be able to walk again. So he said you have to rest for like 1 to 2 months. I said I can't do that. I'm broke. I have no money. So after resting just 1 week, okay, I was thinking of Debbie, okay, we can't do deliveries, our car is wrecked. Okay, we can't do deliveries. We don't have money. You have to pay a lot of bills. Rental is up. A lot of like salaries for the accountants, stuff like that. Okay, and it was even on my birthday, so even worse still. So
yeah, we only have 300 left.
I think about 300 in our bank left. Oh, wow. Very stressed. And then we discuss and say, hey, why not we send straight to customer house? Since we sell to like bakeries, cafe, they sell to the end consumers. What? Why not we should we deal with them, get cash straight? Then we rented a friend's car and asked him to do deliveries. So I was like with a tongkang, walking, doing deliveries and stuff
like
that.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was very happy moment, but at that time it was a very painful moment. So,
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the story also. Then we started, as Debbie said, we started like doing online. So at first we have no IT like knowledge. Mm. So we started like Facebook, like PM stuff, but it's illegal now, please don't do it. Okay. So we do the PM stuff, like PM until like our Facebook broke apart. We can't even reply messages. That was how crazy it was.
Yeah, we even take turn to sleep just to reply message from customers.
Yes. Oh wow. Yeah, so she likes, okay, now you're going to sleep at night, okay? I'm going to reply message at night, and then in the morning, I'm going to sleep, you're going to reply message.
Wow, that's like shift just to reply messages.
Yes.
But
and
we
then,
are very grateful for the support from our customers.
Very grateful. Mm. So, and then we say, we cannot do that idea. We cannot sleep like that. Mm. So, wait, why not we start making our website so that like MLM money comes in even when we are sleeping. Okay.
Wow.
In a way. But not MLM.
No, don't compare your company to MLM.
So the orders are even coming in and it's automated everything in a way.
Yeah. So I suppose that if we wanna look at it, there's like a silver lining to the accident you had also, because you then had to pivot and shift your business.
Yes. Yeah. If you haven't had the accident, probably I'm still sending peanut butters to restaurants and stuff like that.
Mm, but that is a hell of a genesis story you have there. We are going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about the business of peanut butter, and they even brought some, so we'll taste some too. Stay with us. You're listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, the show where we preach about better peanut butter. I'm Jun, and I've been speaking to Joseph Goh, Debbie Ching, and Victor Chin from Jobby Nut Butter, a local Malaysian brand of artisanal peanut butter. So, you brought some of your peanut butters over. Thank you so much for that. And this one right here, you say is your most popular one.
Yeah, our chunky is our all-time bestseller. There's like little bits of peanuts inside, so it's very crunchy, like little firecrackers popping in your mouth.
Ooh.
Very, very nice.
Okay. And you were saying you had 4 different products right now, right? Mm. 4 different kinds of peanut butters. Do you mind going through them?
Now we have 2 categories. The one, the regular classic version, and the pure version, which is no sugar and no salt added at all.
So basically 4 flavors right now,
yeah.
Which is the chunky, which I told you, with the peanut bits inside, and the creamy, which is like totally smooth. So we have that, the 2 regular, the creamy and chunky, and then the creamy and chunky pure. What do you mean by pure? No sugar, no salt, like just pure roasted nuts, not even a single drop of oil.
Oh wow. Okay, I'm gonna try some. I'm excited for this.
Hope you like it. Maybe you can stir before you eat.
Okay.
Yeah. Because actually our product is 100% natural. So after a period of time, there'll be a layer of oil on top. So before you eat, stir it, it will taste even better.
Oh, it's very thick.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm not sure if I should have this much.
I need a while to process this. I think it's really good. It's super nutty. Mm. And I like that the peanut chunks are bigger than the ones you'll find.
Exactly.
Even in like the chunky, Skippy or Jif peanut butters.
Exactly.
Is that intentional to have it like bigger?
Yes, because I have like a anti tendency in my heart, you know. So like I see like so small, like why so small? We should make it bigger.
Mm.
Like feel like more worth it, you know. Like wow, I bought like ₱1 million peanut butter.
Yeah,
very big nuts.
And it's very thick, and it's the consistency is great. Huh. I'm sure it must have taken you like tons of experimentation to.
Towers of failed product. Very, very hard to make.
Yeah.
Something as simple. We only have 3 ingredients there. Peanut, sugar, salt. That's all. But the variation, like how you roast it, how you grind it, mix it together, that every single little detail, it takes a lot of effort and takes a lot of skill.
Mm. Yeah, because on paper, it sounds really easy, right? Mm-hmm. I've tried making like almond butter on my own.
Oh, really? How was it?
No, it was nothing like this.
Don't lie, no, la. I'm sure it
no, no, but
nice.
I feel like one of the biggest struggles, right, yes. is to get it to
right
not feel gritty in your mouth.
Yes.
Mm.
Because I guess when you grind it with like a home blender or grinder, there's always... a certain limit to the grind size, right?
Yes.
So how did you guys face the same problem in the beginning as well? And how did you then solve that?
You would hope that is the biggest problem, but that is not the biggest problem. So basically, we source our nuts by the tons, okay? Mm. So when you bring in raw peanuts, inside the story, there's actually a lot of stones inside. Three branches. Okay.
Yeah, you have to pick it out.
You have to pick it out hand by hand. In the past, we do that before we have any machineries. So one kg would take like maybe even 1 hour or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was very stressful. There was a lot of stone and the stone looks exactly like the peanuts itself.
Yes.
So once we have the peanuts, we then filter it by hand. Then we will go to our roasting sessions. So roasting sessions, cannot tell you too much because I will lose millions.
Great secret.
It's okay. Very secret. So we roast it then, okay, to there's few main points to do that. Yeah, firstly is for the fragrance. It smells way nice, the aroma, stuff like that. But the other thing is actually to kill all those like moistures, to kill all those molds, because actually peanut has mold in them. Naturally, you cannot take them out by hand. You have to kill them with very, very high heat. So the right temperature is very important as well. So once we roast them in, there's a cooling session. We probably takes like 24 hours to 48 hours to cool down, completely cool, so that the oil, the natural oil inside is set, is really set and stable. Then we grind it in. So our grinder, as you say, like the blender and stuff like that, right? So when we first started, we have like, I think like 6 blenders broken because of it. Because it's very, very rough peanuts, right? I'm sure you know because you make almonds. So we have to move to like more traditional stone grinders and mill grinders and all this to get the right texture. So after that, then there's the packing, the filling and all this.
I don't think I'm ever going to try and make nut butters again, especially when there's such a good brand out there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
But okay, I have some quick fire questions for you guys for like personal peanut butter preferences.
Okay.
Smooth or chunky?
Chunky.
I like creamy, no sugar, no salt, the pure version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I prefer chunky with the sugar, although I'm trying to bulk up and then get on a protein diet, but I think the sugar still tastes better.
Best thing to have peanut butter on? Toast?
On a spoon, straight to the mouth.
Oh, just straight from jar.
I prefer on my finger.
Spoon also lazy to find.
Just take out like that.
Oh my gosh.
Easier.
For me, I'm more traditional. I'll just go with toast.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, kaya or peanut butter? Oh, this is I feel like it's a tough one.
If I say kaya, I'm like betraying my own brand. Cannot.
But you've been making and eating peanut butters for like 5 years already, and
okay,
you still can taste it?
I tell you la, kaya la. I eat peanut butter every day, very scary.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm sure you appease the all the Malaysian audience out there.
I previously prefer peanut butter more, but if you try peanut butter like every single day.
For 4 years.
But it's still very good, guys. It's very good. It's just that maybe after 4 years is the limit.
I tell you, if like any founder tell you after like making like 5 years, 10 years, they say, oh, I love my peanut butter. very, very sure that is not the true story. Or maybe I'm just the weird one.
No, but you are very honest. So thank you for your honesty. But let's talk a bit about the future of your business. So your brand itself is Jobby Nut Butter. So when I first found out about your brand, I thought and I expected you guys to have more than just peanut butter, right? I thought it was like a whole line of nut butters out there. Is that part of your plan? Or are you sticking with just peanut butter for now?
Well, I'll break it down to three things when we talk about future. So the short-term plan is really to scale up our current production, maintain the consistency. Like Joseph mentioned, it's actually quite hard to do something trivial but maintain quality every day in, day out. So the first thing, that's what we're going to do. And then really expand the reach to all of Malaysians if possible, because we are restricted in our reach that we only deal primarily in online channels today. And I think the market, unfortunately for Malaysia, 95% of retail sales is still conducted offline. And we're quite confident the more people who try our product, they will come back for they more.
Yeah, from data, we have all those data points.
Correct. And then I guess on the midterm basis, we will explore possibly, like you mentioned, perhaps other almond butters, different flavor profiles. We actually have a special flavor before. I don't know if you tried it.
It's called Monkey King. Yeah. Okay, it's basically crispy coconut meat, and we add it with peanut butter.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But is that like a limited?
Yes, it's a limited
edition
for now.
Right.
But we have very good feedback, so we might thinking of doing it long term in the future. It's still in consideration.
Mm. Yeah. So we just have to maintain the quality and find a way to do it at a larger volume, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of midterm basis, that will be exploring flavors and then looking at the export market, especially some tidbits for you in terms of information. Malaysia is actually one of the top 30 importers of peanut butter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then within Asia Pacific, right, we are also in the top 5 countries. Yeah. So it's like when you mentioned just now, right, you know, it's a staple food. Everybody has it in the morning. One or two per person, you don't see that difference. But when you add it up, that's a whole lot of big market over there. So instead of just looking into Malaysia, the midterm will also be exploring export markets.
Mm-hmm.
Indonesia, China, Philippines.
When will you reach your fans in Ireland?
I hope we don't for now. Because I'm very stressed, you know. Every day they throw me. It's like mentally very exhausting.
You still have that daily? Eh?
Every day. Oh, yeah. Every single day. But sometimes it's very fun. Like when I'm in very good mood, I play with them a lot also.
Yeah.
Then they're very nice also. They like give comment like, hey, your peanut butter, okay lah, the name like shit, right? Because Joby. But I see a lot of good reviews. I see like, wow, the texture is very nice, because we have some videos online also. So I say, wow, it looks very appetizing. I want to try that in the future.
Mm.
Please bring it there.
So, and then, with regards to the future, I think the long-term plan is actually, we've got pretty big ambitions.
Very big.
And we want to be basically a globally recognized Asian food brand. If you look at it, there's not a whole lot of Malaysian food products that compete with
Western brands,
you know. Mm-hmm. Especially when we talk about this peanut butter, is like an invention of
the
Western guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, Australia, US, and whatnot. But I think if we can make a Malaysian brand that we're all proud of, that would be our goal. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think going beyond just business a little bit, Joseph and Debbie, I think they've been very good inspiration for young people. And I think part of creating that brand, right, is also to provide inspiration for the younger crowd that, you know, even if they have nothing, they're starting from nothing, from zero, they can still create something if they believe in it and then they have faith. Mm. to sacrifice long enough. That's the key word, the perseverance. Mm. So setting an example to the young people, and I think nowadays as well, we've got this sustainable movement coming up, which is very important to take care of the future.
Yeah, that's why like our packagings are using like biodegradable glass and all this. So we are starting to move toward the green stuff also. Mm.
So it's really not just about cutting costs or whatnot, but making a statement itself, you know, that we also care about the future generations and our impact of the business to both the society and the environment.
Because a business shouldn't just be profiting, a business should add value to society, add value to the world as well.
Cool. It sounds like you guys have a very promising upstart business coming up.
You have to have very big nuts to have big dreams.
well said. And just to cap it off, where can people find your peanut butters?
You can search us on www.joebeanutbutter.com. You can even buy our peanut butter. Just one bottle, single bottle, will deliver to your house all for free.
We're also quite good on the Google. If you just search peanut butter Malaysia,
you're the first.
We should be ranked among the top results itself. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show, guys.
I should be thanking you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, for having us.
That's all we have for this week's show. To listen to more episodes, find us on iTunes, Spotify, or visit our website www.bfm.my. And if you're hungry for recipes to try out this weekend or just want to read some funky food writing, do visit my blog at junantonic.com. That's junandtonic.com. I'm Jun, and you've been listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.